You see, the Lord is our rock. And yet so many times we have other things that we try to stabilize ourselves with. It is Christ who is our rock. He is my only, he is only my rock and my deliverer or salvation. We need to see him as that alone. God is the one who brings our deliverance.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, the message today reveals some important truths about how we're to live out our faith.
Indeed it does, Dave. It gets to the core of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, let's turn to Psalm 62, where we're going to see from David's example what genuine faith really looks like.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
He says here, "Therefore, I have hope." And this is what he's recalling to mind. The Lord's loving kindness is indeed never cease. I got to recall that to mind. I got to bring it to the forefront of my thinking, because my thinking is thinking about all this wormwood and bitterness, all this stuff that's going on. I got to recall this to mind. The Lord's loving kindness is indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. That's wonderful. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Someone ought to write a song about that, right? It's wonderful, right? Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. It's my whole being. It's who I am. And he says, therefore, I have hope in him. And notice this part. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. He's good to those who wait for him. We want to resolve everything right now, whatever it's in our lives, and we pray we may take action before we need to, or we should, or God has led us to, and we need to wait on the Lord. We need to wait on the Lord. He's good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. David's going to say silently, I wait for him. You know, we tend to want to complain about it. That's our nature, right? We want to tell everybody and everything about it. And David is saying, my insides wait silently. Now, we're going to see that doesn't mean he's silent before God. He says, pour out your heart before the Lord. So then, the Lord is good to those who wait upon him. Psalm 33, and I'll just read this for you, verse 20. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in him, because we trust in his holy name. You wait for who you trust in. If you don't believe he is your only hope, you're not going to wait for him. You're going to take action. So we need to wait on the Lord. And David says, and we saw in Psalm 37 that was read earlier, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I've never seen that on a bumper sticker, wait patiently for him, right? The reality is there needs to be a sense of waiting for him to bring about his resolution in his time, which is good. The Lord is good, and he's good to those who wait upon him. So David, back in our passage, says, my soul waits in silence for God only. That's it. This is who I'm waiting for. This is who's going to, as we'll see, deliver me. He says, notice the end of verse 1, from him is my salvation. He's the one. Well, I thought David was a great warrior. He's the king. He's got armies. He's got everything. Couldn't he just call out these armies and start hunt these guys down? What's going on? He's the guy who slayed Goliath. Well, he says, from him is my salvation. David knows to whom his salvation comes from. He says, from him is my salvation. The term salvation speaks of deliverance, being saved from something. And David recognizes that God is his only source of deliverance in these circumstances of attacks and threats. And we need to get this. We need to understand and wait upon the Lord to deliver us. We need to be reminded of this. So often, again, we go to anywhere and everywhere but the Lord for our deliverance. But the Lord is our only hope. Whatever it is, whether it's political concerns, whatever it might be, and the difficulties that are happening in our country, whatever it might be, God is the one who is going to deliver us. Whether it's a relational problem, whether it's being persecuted, being spoken against, slandered, whatever it is, God is the one who is going to deliver. And in David's situation, he's being attacked and threatened. So notice what he says. He doesn't stop in describing God in relationship to his difficulty, by the way. Look at verse 2. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. He's going to say, he's my rock, my salvation, my stronghold. He's going to exhibit faith. I'm not going to be shaken. Later on, he'll say greatly shaken. I know I'm not going to be tottered over because he is this. Later on, he's going to say, trust in the Lord at all times, O people. That's what he's exhibiting right here in this statement. He only, and we need to get this point, he only. And you need to have a personal relationship with the living God. A lot of people talk about a lot of verses, a lot of stuff, but there's no real relationship with the Lord. This is a personal relationship with the Lord. He only is my rock and my salvation. These are tremendous words of faith from David concerning our God. He's trusting in him. He says, my rock, for a pretty simple metaphor, right? What do you think of when you think of a rock? You think of stability. You think of strength, protection from stumbling. What does David say in Psalm 18? Look at Psalm 18, verse 1. And he said, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. That's personal, right? That's personal. That's a real relationship, right? The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The Lord is my rock. He is my stronghold. He is my rock. Look down a little farther in verse 30 of Psalm 18. As for God, his way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who girds me with strength and makes my way blameless. He makes my feet like hinds' feet. He sets me upon high places. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend bow of bronze. Thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand upholds me, and thy gentleness makes me great. Thou dost enlarge my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back until they were consumed. I shattered them so that they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet, for thou hast girded me with strength for battle. Thou hast subdued under me those who rose up against me. Thou hast made my enemies turn their backs to me, and I destroyed those who hated me. Look down at verse 45. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. The God who executes vengeance for me and subdues peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. Surely thou dost lift me above those who rise up against me. Thou dost rescue me from the violent men. Therefore I will give thanks to thee among the nations, O Lord. I will sing praises to thy name. He gives deliverance to his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. You see, the Lord is our rock. And yet so many times we have other things that we try to stabilize ourselves with. It is Christ who is our rock. He is my only, he is only, verse 2, my rock and my deliverer or salvation. We need to see him as that alone. God is the one who brings our deliverance. And then notice he says, my stronghold. He is my stronghold. The term stronghold speaks of a secure height or a fortress on high. The Lord is a fortress. He is a strong tower. The Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and are safe. We get our protection from the Lord. What does David say in 2 Samuel in his song of thanksgiving? 2 Samuel chapter 22, and I'll read it. Verse 3. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my Savior, thou dost save me from violence. All throughout the Psalms, we see the psalmist crying out to God, their only stronghold, their rock, their refuge, their fortress, against the violence of those who are coming against them. Again, so many passages. Psalm 144, Psalm of David, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle, my loving kindnesses and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge, who subdues the people under me." Psalm 94, "They band themselves together against the life of the righteous," verse 21, "and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord has been my stronghold, and my God has been the rock of my refuge, and he has brought back their wickedness upon them and will destroy them in their evil. The Lord our God will destroy them." Psalm 94, 21 and 22. Folks, God is our only hope to deliver us, especially from violent people. God's our only hope. So David goes on and he explains this in the context of this. He says, "My soul waits in silence," second half of 1, back in Psalm 62. "From him is my salvation. He is my rock, my salvation, my stronghold." And then look at this. He says, "I shall not be greatly shaken." It's confidence. If he is my stronghold, and he is, I know I'm not going to be greatly shaken. The term shaken speaks of tottering, being dislodged. Because David has God alone as his salvation, because David has God alone and as his rock, because David has God alone as his stronghold, he can say in the context of faith, "I shall not be greatly shaken." See, he's not only understands the truth of his God being this, but he believes it. We can understand, we can sing, "Blessed be the rock," you know, we can sing and know he's our rock or such, but we don't believe it. David believes it. This is faith. "I shall not be greatly shaken." You see, when God is your stability, your stronghold, your refuge, you can declare like David, "Hey, I'm not going to be greatly shaken because he's going to uphold me. He's good. The righteous run in. The Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and are what? Safe." So then, because God is David's only stability, salvation, and personal stronghold, he's confident he will not be shaken, even though there are evil men and hypocrites who seek to destroy him. Notice verse 3. "How long will you assail a man that you may murder him, all of you?" And I mentioned this earlier. I prefer the NASB over the New King James. They translate this, "You shall be slain." I don't think that's actually the way it is. It's that they may murder him. The context is, how long, bad guys, are you going to do this and try to kill me? How long are you going to be doing this? How long are you going to do it? It ultimately speaks of violently attacking. So David is talking about not a one-time event, but it's an ongoing thing. How long are you going to keep doing this? "That you may murder him, all of you." And then he says in the end of 3, "like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence." Now, what's he talking about here? Verse 4, he says, "They have counseled only to thrust him down from his high position." David's the king. It's an organized, concerted effort to remove him as king. And he says, here's what's going on. And he knows he shares their character. "They delight in falsehood." What's falsehood? It's something that's not true. It's purported to be true, but it's false. They delight in that. They delight in sharing that which they would portray as true and correct, but it is false. They delight in falsehood. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. Oh, blessed be David the king. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly, "I hate him. I'm going to get him. We're going to take him down. We're plotting and planning. We're going to take him off his high pedestal." So here we have David explaining the character of the people that are behind this to continually attempt to take him out. They're hypocrites. They're hypocrites. They're religious. Now remember, David's time, everyone basically claimed to know the Lord. Their God was the God of Israel. They bless with their mouth, and only they curse. And then he says, "Selah." Now this basically means to lift up, and it spoke of stopping the instruments and the music to contemplate what has just been sung or said. So then we need to stop in us for a second and think about what we've just heard. So in spite of evil, hypocritical, religious that seek to destroy him and enthrone him, God is his only rock and salvation and only stronghold. And notice he continues, verse 5, "My soul wait in silence for God only." Again, we see this again. My entire being is waiting for the Lord. Wait for the Lord, my soul, in silence. For my hope is from Him. My hope comes from the Lord. He only is my rock, my salvation, my strong hill. I shall not be shaken. Now, there was very much the almost the exact same phrase, except for the word greatly is not there. I'm not going to be shaken. Our only hope is the Lord. Therefore, we need to be silent and wait on Him and for His deliverance, because He is our rock, our salvation, and our stronghold. But we got to believe that from the heart. And if we do, we're going to wait on Him. If we don't believe He's our salvation, we're not going to wait on Him. It's the Lord. He is our only hope. And the Lord is good. Actually, Lamentations 3:24, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the person who seeks Him. It is good that He waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. He only is my rock and my salvation. Verse 6, my salvation, my stronghold, my rock, my stronghold, my salvation. I shall not be shaken. This is a personal testimony of David. And we need to learn from Him. We need to get on our knees and pour out our hearts before the Lord and wait upon Him, because He alone is our rock, salvation, and stronghold. And therefore, we know that we will not be shaken. Now, notice in verse 7, David continues to talk about God's salvation, His salvation, and who He is. On God, my salvation, my glory rest, all in His hands. So the rock of my strength, my refuge, is in God. Psalm 144, and I'll read it for you. Verse 1, a psalm of David. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield, and He is in whom I take refuge, who subdues peoples under me. On God, my salvation and my glory rest, the rock of my strength, He's the core of that. My refuge is in God, the only one who could deliver him and protect him and keep him in his position that God had placed him in the first place is God Himself. God is his refuge. He says, my refuge is in God. The term refuge speaks of shelter, my strength. He's my refuge. He's my strength. Last part of verse 7, it's the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. It sounds familiar. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Isn't that wonderful? Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, the mountains quake, and its swelling pride, Selah. God is our refuge and strength. He's our shelter, and He's our strength. He's our rock, and He is our deliverer. David trusts in the Lord, and this is a pattern in his life, and this isn't a one and done for David. David trusts the Lord over and over again. And I believe the Lord allows us to go through trials, the testing of our faith, to prove where our faith is. He allows difficulties to come to show us, to prove, to demonstrate our faith. Take a look at Psalm 31. We see this pattern in David's life. We see this pattern of how he trusts the Lord in the midst of extremely difficult situations. Psalm 31, it's all throughout the Psalms. Psalm 31, verse 1, for the choir director, a psalm of David, in thee, O Lord, I have taken refuge. There we go. Again, you're my shelter. Let me never be ashamed. In thy righteousness, deliver me. Incline thine ear to me, rescue me quickly. Be thou to me a rock of strength and a stronghold to save me. For thou art my rock, my fortress. For thy name's sake, thou wilt lead me and guide me. Now look at what he says. Thou wilt pull out the net which they have secretly laid for me. For thou art my strength. He is trusting God to do it. He says here, into thy hand do I commit my spirit. We know the Lord Jesus shared that when he died, right? It's prophetic in that sense. But we need to do the same thing. Lord, you're my life, I'm in your hands. The Lord Jesus said that as he was dying on the cross and died for us. He says, thou hast ransomed me, O Lord, God of truth. He says, I hate those who regard vain idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad in thy loving kindness, because thou hast seen my affliction, thou hast known my troubles of my soul, and thou hast not given me over to the hand of my enemy. Thou hast set my feet in large places. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I'm in distress. My eye is wasted away from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength has failed because of my iniquity, and my body has wasted away because of my adversaries. I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. This is the difficulty. Some of it's from his sin, some of it is not. Right? So we'll see. He says, I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many, tares on every side, while they took counsel together against me. They schemed to take away my life. But as for me, I'm going to worry, fret, and shake in my boots. He doesn't say that, right? He says, but as for me, I trust in thee, O Lord. It's personal. He's talking to the Lord. I say, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand to deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. David trusts in the Lord. And if you are following the Lord, there's going to be a time where you're going to go through trials and testing. And some of that will come in the context of persecution. Indeed, those who desire to live godly will be persecuted. And often it comes from those you know or from those within your sphere of personal relationships. Whether it's at church, whether it's at work, whether it's in the family, wherever it is, then we got to trust the Lord. He is our only hope. We need to get on our knees, rest in him, and wait for him. So notice after David in his testimony of faith, it's a testimony of faith. Notice he now commands us to trust in the Lord. And he commands that in the context of actually doing it himself. Look at verse 8 back in Psalm 62. Trust in him at all times, O people. That really covers it, doesn't it? Trust in him at all times, all the time. Trust in the Lord. That means you put your faith in him. You rely on him. You are abiding in him. You're believing what he said, and you're relying on him personally to do what he has said, to accomplish what he has said, to be who he says he is in the context of your life. You're relying on him. Trust the Lord. Don't rely on anything else. This should be innate to believers, but often we trust in other things in difficult situations. Now, we're not only to trust him in difficult situations, we're to trust him at all times. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17. We see the results of when one trusts and one doesn't. We see the reality of the sphere of each one. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. You're cursed if you trust in your flesh and other men. You trust in people. For he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see prosperity when it comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness and land of salt without habitation. If you see people like that, sometimes they claim to be believers. Maybe they might be. They're living in that wasteland because they're not trusting in the Lord. You see it in their lives and you go, wow, it's not someone who's going through troubles like David and trusting the Lord and even rejoicing in it and having difficulty within it. But notice he says here, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. It's personal. And whose trust is the Lord.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in the Book of Psalms. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series or the Ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up this broadcast, what's our takeaway?
Dave, our takeaway is simply this. Our walk with Jesus Christ is centered around trusting him. It's all about faith. Do we believe what he said? Do we trust personally in the Lord? It's all about trusting Jesus. Well, we're not done with this wonderful psalm yet, so make plans to join us on Monday as we finish our look at Psalm 62.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here, for another edition of Equipping the Saints.